everyone. Welcome back to Beneath the Kotatsu. My name is On, and next to me is my co-host, James.
Otoke Beam!
And for this episode, episode 27, we are doing it on Yusha Yoshihiko, or for the American people, Hiro Yoshihiko, which is basically a live-action comedy of Dragon Quest.
Yeah, think it was officially sanctioned, right, after the first season?
I think so. Like, they use a lot of, like, the characters, like, they had the same monsters
all
and
the
everything,
monsters,
too.
Yeah, especially the slime, the iconic slime.
Exactly. So, I think it's probably officially sanctioned by the first season,
if
anything.
Yeah, I imagine.
I'm surprised.
Since it's a parody, I think it would have been okay either way. Because in America, if you make... remember when we used to have a bajillion parody movies of, like, Not Another Teen Movie, stuff like that, where they would take IPs and just parody them?
Yeah.
So it's fine. I would imagine Japan's the same way.
I don't think so. I feel like if you're going to parody something, you have to ask permission first.
I think that's kind of like a Weird Al thing. He did it out of respect.
No. Like, not even like in America, if you want to parody something, you just parody, right?
Yeah.
But take, okay, this is a weird tangent, but like take the porn industry. There's like a crap ton of like parodies for the porn industry. And like, they don't really talk about it, but... For Japan, I think if you want to parody something in Japan, you have to ask permission, even if it's like a cosplay thing, too.
Well, that's kind of a different thing, because you're making it into a different type of industry. Comedy is fine, but, you know, when you get into...
No, but that's the thing. That's what I'm saying is, like, in America, you don't need to ask permission if you want to parody, like, you know, something for, like, you know, like porn or something.
Obviously, one of them is not safe for work, and you wouldn't be able to.
Well, both of them aren't safe for work. Like I'm talking about like
DMCA
one for.
It's like the Mario Brothers. Nintendo going after Super Hornio Brothers. They didn't permit it.
But I'm saying
American production.
But I'm saying like in Japan, like if you're doing like a JAV cosplay type of thing, you
right,
have to ask permission first.
That's why they won't allow it, because it's JAV.
Exactly. That's
the
what
same
I'm
reason Nintendo didn't allow Super Hornio Brothers. Those are a Ron Jeremy version.
It's so stupid. All right. Let's
just
go back to topic.
That's protecting your IP, bro.
Yeah. All right. So basically, Yusha Yoshihiko basically follows a cast of four people. So the main character, Yoshihiko, I'll just go through the cast real quick. He's played by Takayuki Yamada. And then we have Danjo, which is the warrior. He is played by Shin Takuma. Then we have Murasaki. I guess she's like the rogue fighter type person. She's played by...
I think calling her a fighter is probably a little bit of a stretch.
I mean, calling
actually,
her anything
that
is a little bit of a stretch.
That would be an accurate statement for Mareb more than anyone. I think it's fine for you to call Murasaki, which is just the word for purple.
Like a rogue. I guess like the closest you can call is a rogue, right? Because she has a dagger.
Exactly. Oh, that's true. She is just jab, 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 jab.
So she's played by Haruka Kinami. And then you have Merubu, the wizard. He's played by Tsuyoshi Muro. And then you also have the Buddha, which is
Hiro
basically
Sato.
Like...
the goat, the god.
Yeah, the god.
Literally.
And then, also have the reoccurring sister, Hisa, which is played by Azusa Akimoto. So, real quick, who is your favorite character?
Out of the main characters? Or
yeah, after the main four characters.
All right. Obviously, the Buddha, Jiro Sato.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's like...
He's great.
No way. Just the demeanor he has with the main characters is the best.
Even when he's
angry, he's like nicely saying it, but you could tell he's trying to keep a lid on the boiling pot.
He's like, wait, hold up. Wait, what? Don't you love it when he does like the hot takes, whenever he turns like four or five times?
Yeah. Or when he's just like, being summoned and he's eating ice cream or ramen or something and having a conversation off camera. That's the best.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't notice he's like being summoned.
Remember in season two where they summoned him and he didn't even know? And the villager's like, who the fuck is this guy? Are you serious?
Oh, he was eating ice cream or whatever?
Yeah.
Or not crepe. He was eating crepe or something?
Something like that. And then he summons the hero. He's like, no. It's like, was that it?
Oh, yes.
He's like, that's not a spell. No, it's not a spell. He's like, it's my spell. It could be new if I wanted to.
Yeah, it could be anything he wants. Just has to use a word to do it, I guess.
All right. Actually, my favorite character is actually the wizard.
Just because. Merib? Yeah,
Merib.
So useless. Oh my god.
Not entirely useless. Some of those spells are pretty legit, I do have to say. Actually have a list of his spells. So let me run down quickly his spell list. I don't know them by like name. I know right. Some of them by name, but I'll describe what they do. So his first spell is Pig Nose, which basically turns your nose into a pig. Basically it's that thing where, you know, you put your finger on your nose and you push upwards.
Yeah.
That's basically what it does. It just makes your nose look like that.
Didn't he have like a specific name for it though? Like all of his
pig
spells
nose.
He uses a stupid...
It's, oh, okay. It's called Pig Nose.
All right. What else did he have?
His second spell, it's called Sweet, which basically makes you have like an immediate craving for something sweet. That's basically it. It's actually pretty OP if you think about it.
I mean, if his enemy's a diabetic, I guess.
Yes. I mean, it kind of distracts you because, like, in the middle of... I love how he, like, tries to explain that all his spells are, like, useful in battle when most of the time it doesn't seem like they're useful at all.
Dude, I bet, like, you could abuse his spells in a manner where they would actually be useful, especially the ice cube one.
Oh, yeah. I love that one where it just basically makes one ice cube in your mouth.
Yeah, because he can multicast it repeatedly as long as he says it.
Yeah.
Maybe break somebody's jaw open with an ice cube. I don't know.
His next spell is basically a fart spell. Makes you have flatulence. And then actually the one after that is the one that makes you like really need to go poop for some reason.
Oh, and by the way, what's up with Yoshihiko always being casted on me? Any spell in the show, he's like, please cast it on me.
That's it on me. Because he wants to try it out. He wants
he's
to
excited.
See how... Yeah, it's so stupid. His next is the Ice Cube, which y'all talked about.
Was that Frizzy? Or I remember Frizzy.
He has like the off brand version of the actual spell list.
Yeah.
Like I remember like the ice spell in Dragon Quest is called Crackle or something, and his is called Crickle.
Definitely. I never played any of the Dragon Quest games. I always meant to, but I just for one reason or another never got around to them.
I played one and that was pretty much it, but I mean the spell list pretty much follows like the same spell list technically has, but it's like all off-brand stuff.
Yeah, the great value of Dragon Quest spells. Well, that's the whole show, right? It's a low budget show. That's what it was advertised as for season one.
It was hella low budget.
Super low budget.
His next spell is called Heat Food, or it's not called Heat Food, but it heats food.
Yeah, that was probably the most useful one.
I think it's pretty useful. No. The next spell is the most useful
one. Which one?
It's called glucosamine and crochetine.
Wasn't that basically? Go ahead.
It basically infuses your blood with like how much vitamins you would have gotten if you eaten like a bowl of grapes and tomatoes. that's it. And he tries to sell it off as being like giving you extra defense power. that's such a stupid spell, but I think it's like the most useful if you're like for the long term use.
It's like all of his spells are stuff that would make life better in the boonies, I guess.
His next two spells basically gives you an eyebrow, one that gives you like thick eyebrows.
Oh yeah, he used it on Murasaki. She got super pissed.
And then the next one gives you an underbite.
That was my favorite one. Isn't that the one where Yoshihiko is like, I feel powerful, I can do anything.
he goes on slaying
a bunch of monsters in succession, and then once he loses that underbite, he goes back to being useless-ish.
It is. I specifically remember that episode. It's the one where he has an underbite, and then they have to go rescue a princess, I think. And then he's like, "I'm invisible," and then he removes the spell. Is like, and then remember, Yoshiko gets all sad, And then Meru's like, why do you look so sad? This is like this most stupidest show I've ever seen, but it's so great.
Dude, they really knocked it out of the park. There's three seasons of this show. For the purpose of the cast, we're just doing the first two seasons.
Yeah, we're only talking about the first two seasons. If you like what you're hearing and you want to watch it, we don't want to spoil the third season for you. So that's like why we're gonna leave it off the list. So first two seasons, even if we're spoiling it, like it's not even like whatever we say, it's not even like a quarter as funny as what you're actually gonna watch, because it's like the most hilarious thing you're ever gonna see.
Wasn't the first season like Yusha Yoshihiko and the Demon Castle or something like that? I know the second the season Demon Castle, the Key of Evil Spirits or something like that.
Yeah. The Demon Castle, Evil Spirits. I don't know what the third one's called because we haven't, you know. And then next spell on the list is basically it restores 60% of your stamina. The spell restores 60% of your stamina.
That's pretty useful.
It's only useful because to restore 60% of your stamina, the spell makes you eat.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Random food.
You would gain pretty much the same thing if you were to do it.
Exactly. Basically, the spell makes you crave certain foods that restore 60% of your stamina. And it's basically like, so the spell doesn't do anything. It just makes you crave food that has stamina in it.
Oh my gosh.
And then, actually, this is probably my favorite spell. It's the, I don't know what it's called, but it's the spell that makes you, like, talk funny, and then it makes you, make your head, like, pushes Twitch over to your, like, your shoulder. Like, kind of like how you're having a tick.
He casted it on Murasaki. Was that season 2?
I think it was season 2, yeah.
Yeah, he casted it on her, and she was like, please stop, or something like that.
And then he casted it on her and Yoshi, too.
Right.
All right, and then so I guess we'll go through the episodes real quick. Like, I actually have a list of like what do you call it, kind of like tropes I want to go through real quick before we go through the episodes, that they kind of not specifically each episode. So my like one of my favorite recurring jokes is like the flat jokes, the Penton jokes, and then the mole jokes. Between
most of the pets, more pets and jokes than mole jokes, I think. But if anything, the mole jokes were really well done. Like, for example, when he got transformed into slime,
and he still has his mole.
The mole was huge. That was season 2, where they were infiltrating the Emperor's castle.
Yeah. Yeah, I just love that every time like he has one up over Murasaki, he's like, say that my mole is like beautiful. I just love how like Murasaki just takes the flat joke. She's like, she knows she's flat, so she just takes the insult either way.
I did want to mention about these characters is that I wouldn't exactly call them completely good people. They're kind of like the cast of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, except a little bit more heroish, because Yoshihiko only thinks about his goal. Or if he gets sidetracked, he only thinks about what he's
That's
he's
another one of my tropes.
He's single-minded.
Yeah, he's like the amount of times he like forgets that he's a hero and wants to like stop being a hero.
Yeah, he has to get Jiro beamed or Hotoke beam, which is
What the Hotoke beam really is basically like Men in Black, like the forget light or whatever it's called.
Well, I kind of think it resets his thinking, because I distinctly remember in season 2 when he was at the beach episode, like he was helping set up the FM Mango station. Yeah.
Yeah.
He got Hotoke beamed and he more or less remembered who they were. He just didn't care about like their stuff at all, like, because he was extremely invested in setting up the FM station and staying there for the sister, like kind of as a love interest, but he was hinting that the not brother should, you know, get with her, I suppose.
Honestly, you know what I find funny is that let's say I'm a person that's listening to this podcast and they haven't seen the show before, whatever you just said makes no fucking sense.
Oh my god, whatsoever. That's what I was about to say. I saw the preview on episode 8 for that. I was like, did they just like troll me and splice in a preview for a completely different show?
Yeah, basically, like, we're talking about, like, a Dragon Quest show, and yeah. Then you're over here like, so he goes out and sets up an FM radio.
FM Mango. FM, okay, so so the reason for that is because when they go into the demon world, they straight up are just filming in Japan. Like, in the modern buildings, all that stuff.
Exactly.
And all the restaurants and beaches. There's cars and stuff like that. Speaking of cars, remember the in season 2, the truck with a horse tied at the front?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. They could have just driven it. I remember distinctly that the monsters in the truck were their friends, and they essentially killed them with heat to death. It was kind of grim.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know, when the coyotes bring over the immigrants from Central America to Texas. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times they used to not put, I don't know what they do now, obviously I'm not a coyote, but they would have no air conditioning, and so they would, you know, pass away from heat exhaustion, and that's what happened. Right. I did notice that when they said that they all died, that two monsters in the back were moving but they were like behind a bunch of other bodies.
That's pretty funny. Let me see. Let me take a look at my tropes list here. Okay, another one of the tropes is, I love this one where, like, there's still NPC characters in the show where basically, like, they'll just go up to, like, a random person and they'll talk, and then that person will just spit out, like, an NPC line, like, oh, I have to do my job, or, oh, the weather's hot today.
Remember when they were, it was the episode, I believe, where they were getting the boots of Indestruction or something like that, and they were breaking pots inside of the village.
That's another one of my tropes, is that like they destroy like objects inside
they
houses.
Do the Zelda pot break, and whenever they do that, they're straight up just walking in a line and turning as if they were on a grid.
I was gonna save this for later, but since you brought it up, I would like to say that okay so I know that you're a sneakerhead, right? You're big into sneakers, right? But I, in my full wisdom, am correct that I have chosen the correct sneakers out of all sneakers.
I think so too.
Yeah. So basically, I'm really into Crocs. I just like wearing Crocs because they're easy to wear. And in the show, one of the legendary items is legit just a pair of Crocs. They call them the shoes of invincibility. And they're just gold painted Crocs, and they're legit, like they are legit Crocs, because they did like a close-up zoom of them, and they actually have the like the Crocs branding on them.
They even point to and it they sell and they're it like yeah.
They try to sell it off as like this crocodile of the thing gives you like invisibility powers or something.
I thought it was like that they were saying that the crocodile was for quality.
Probably that's what it is. It's so stupid. And I just want to say, I'm pretty sure they got like marketing, like branding with Crocs. I'm sure they could have. Because legit, the first season is basically just a commercial to get you to buy Crocs.
Dragon Quest 2?
No. It's legit, the first season is just to get you to buy Crocs. Yeah. Because answer me this question. How does he kill the main boss?
So season 1. He uses the little, what is it, a strap on a croc?
Yeah, those like back straps where he's like
yeah, he basically grabs the croc in his hand, takes it off his foot, and he turns it with all his force. And while he's doing that, he's like almost, you can see in his face, it feels like he's dying. It takes so much strength.
And basically, he's turning the Crocs from shoe form to like slipper form.
Exactly. And they're making a metal creaking noise as if it weighed 1,000 pounds or something like that.
Right. And then basically what happens after that is he wears the Crocs, and then he does like a kick motion, and then the Crocs literally like missile off his feet and fly towards the demon and destroys the demon. So I'm just saying, the first season is a Croc commercial just to get you to buy more Crocs. I'm legit. That's what it is. You can't tell me otherwise.
I'm pretty sure they have those available. Didn't they have, I think it was like the drummer from The Roots wearing it at their red carpet you showed me?
So I think what that is I think that's gold spray painted Crocs, because they do have gold Crocs, but those are way more sparkly than the ones on the show. I think the ones on the show were spray painted because they had like a specific gold, like they weren't sparkly gold. I think it was like a matte gold. So yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised because the show's from 2011. I don't think they had that type of Croc at that time.
Gold Crocs, I'm sure. I mean, it was just like the generic Crocs like everyone wears. So it was probably just painted gold with spray paint or whatever. And then let me take a look here. Okay, another one of my favorite, I don't think it's really a trope, but like one of the funny parts is that because of how low the budget was, I just love that like Murasaki, she has like a pet bird, and every time it interacts, it's basically just one of the actors just making noises for the bird.
But legitimately, the bird's alive, technically, because it is flying around in season 2.
Yeah, you just don't but know every time it lands 1. And like chirps, it's basically one of the actors making the chirping sounds that it lands on. Stupid. Let's see. Okay, another one of my favorite tropes is that every time going back to like the pet time jokes, like the flat jokes, every time Yoshiko does like a hot take about Murasaki, she always passes out like standing up.
Oh yeah, her eyes roll back in her head.
Yeah,
and her mouth opens up. He's such a jerk to her, and she has like a crush on him. Remember at the bridge where the guy was asking Murasaki to say which one of the three guys she likes the most or has a crush on?
Oh yeah, I mean that's an easy one though, because out of the three, I mean it has to be Yoshi, right?
Yeah, and that reminds me, you missed one of the spells. He has a spell that makes you laugh.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because at the troll bridge, he wasn't a troll, but the one for Merib was you had to make me laugh, and he's like, "Oh my god, this is so hard." So he just got lazy and used the spell.
I remember it didn't work on Murasaki though. I think like in that episode Yoshi wasn't there, and he casts on Murasaki. He's like, "Yeah, that spell probably works like on Yoshi because he's so stupid he'll laugh at anything." Okay, so I think those are pretty much all of my tropes I just wanted to talk about real quick for the show. And then let me ask you, like, so this show has a lot of Japanese wordplay, and of course, like, we don't speak Japanese, so we missed a lot of like the wordplay stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But was there any like wordplays that you caught that you liked?
Not that I was immediately aware of. I wouldn't be able to. As far as the show from the comedy standpoint, it was extremely easy for me to understand. Like, I laughed a lot each episode.
Yeah, I feel like we missed like 20% of the comedy because we're not, you know, native Japanese
speakers.
That's
like if you ever watch Looney Tunes, and it's a show for kids, but they slip in a lot of adult jokes, and kids don't even notice. None the wiser.
I think one of my favorite, I'm not sure if this is a like a wordplay joke.
What?
But there's this village, which I thought was like had the funniest freaking name in the world.
Which one was it?
So the village was called Sakura Village, right? Mm-hmm. Like it was supposed to be called Sakura Village, but they actually overpronounced one of the syllables, so it's called Sakura Village. So every time they say it, it was like Sakura Village. I don't know why I thought that was so funny, but it was like one of the funniest things I've ever heard. Like every time they try to say the village name, Sakura Village.
Was there a meaning to it, or they just said it that way?
I think it was supposed to be Sakura Village, but they overpronunciated one of the syllables, so it just sounded funny. That's I think they revisited that village twice too, like once in season 1 and once in season 2.
Yeah.
All right, so let's actually go and break down each episode, starting with season 1, first episode. Anything you want to say about that episode?
No, it was just a setup for the show. Nothing.
Really? That episode had some of the funniest parts ever. So, do you remember when I told you, like, in episode 1 where, like, it's because of their budget? Like, Yoshihiko had a horse for, like, 12 seconds.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
So, basically what happened was that when Yoshihiko was leaving the village, They give him a horse, but they cut it out of the camera frame, and it, I think it's him legit just on somebody's shoulder.
Or he could have just been sitting on something and shuffling on his own.
Maybe. I don't know. I think camera angle wise, I think it was shooting like up higher, so I think he was on somebody's shoulder. And then, like, literally the next cut, there's no more horse. He's just walking by foot.
Something must have happened there.
Yeah. I mean, even before that, I love the joke where how like to be a hero you have to pull the sword out of the stone.
And he didn't even pull it, it just fell out when it was his turn.
Just fell out of the rocks. That's great. What's the next? And then the episode
2 is the one with the I remember she was like a shrine maiden type of lady. She was ugly and she had bushy brows.
She was just straight up ugly, and then Yoshihiko just straight tells her, like, you're ugly.
That's like one of the running gags with Yoshihiko. He's like,
he's just straight.
The whole group really is awful to ugly people.
The episode where they have to save, like, the princess?
Right. That was season 2, right? It was like episode 2 or something like that. And they choose the lady that's attractive, and that's just the attendant.
Yeah. And they I love how Yoshihiko, like, does a double take, and then Meruru does a double take, and then they're like, okay, we'll just save the one attractive girl.
There's no time, even though there's plenty of time.
You know what sells the joke even further for that part? Is that when they take the attendant back, the prince guy or whatever, he's like, okay, well, I'll just marry her, and then we'll just say that the princess died in the whatever, and then she could take her place.
I think you missed, you might have missed some of the subtle notes of that. So, not this episode specifically, but remember in, I believe it was season 1, where they had the lady that was ugly, but she was under a curse. And then they took off the curse and she was still ugly?
No. That was season 2. That was the same episode.
Was it? Oh, okay. So basically, whenever the lady said she was defending herself, they called her ugly. She's like, I'm under a curse.
Yeah, she was under a curse, and then if she Donjo, gets the mirror.
Yeah, did you notice Donjo almost pulls out his sword in anger?
Oh, yeah. Because she's so ugly.
No, because she didn't fully. He was like, she must be a monster. She's not telling the truth.
They basically go get like this mirror that turns her back to normal. Yeah. And she does it. She's still ugly. She's slightly less ugly, but she's still ugly.
Right. And before they got the mirror, Yoshihiko was in defense of her, thinking she would be pretty. Once they switched her, if you notice where she's saying, they're talking about how pretty she is, you see Yoshihiko's fist like shaking in rage. And then they had to pull him away without saying anything before he starts something, because you know he's just gonna blurt it out.
I feel like the reason why he did that was because he had flashbacks. Remember the episode in season 1 where he falls in love with this girl?
Oh my god, yes, right. Turns out to be an old man.
Yeah, she's like, I can't kiss you because I'm under a curse or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he does this like crazy thing where he tries to break the curse. Turns out like it wasn't a girl. The girl turns to a guy, is like, oh, looks
like a 55-year-old guy or something like that. He's great hair.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, I think what made it even better is that they had a whole lead up where it stopped being Yoshihiko and the Evil Spirits. It was straight up a romance show, and they were in the field and all that type of stuff. That's what I like about this show. They, like, without, you know, thinking, will switch the show from being a comedy adventure to being a serious, you know, like a romance drama. And that in itself makes it hilarious that they're actually doing that in this type of show.
I think one of my favorite running gags starting from episode 1 was the 3D glasses, which changed to what are they called, like
eclipse viewer.
Yeah, eclipse viewer. Basically, he can't see Buddha in the sky for some reason. I guess he's too low level or something, and basically Meribu has to give him these like the original, like, these 3D, like, red, blue glasses. And he's like, oh, I can see you now. And I love how Buddha's like, he does, like, a hot take where he's like, are you freaking serious? How can the hero not be able to see me?
And isn't there some points where he does see him and then he just goes back to acting like he can't? No, he's like, no, I heard you.
At the end of season one, he's able to, but yeah. Because Buddha in season two, episode one, Buddha forgot to save in the correct area of the game, they all revert back to level one, so he's not able to see Buddha anymore.
Oh, right, that's right. He fucks up summoning him.
And a
quick question about that. What? So he summoned the heroes, right?
Yeah.
And this is, like, how many years? Like, obviously he was summoned as an old man.
It was 100 years in the future.
He died of old age. Why did his sister get revived?
I don't know. I think... The reasoning...
She looked young, too. So she would have died young.
So, basically, the reason behind that, like, how... Because of all the other reason was... because Buddha made a mistake.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's the only real reason. Okay.
Yeah, Buddha made a mistake. And I love how, like, even Buddha admits he made the mistake, where he's like, oops, I forgot. Where he does that cutesy, like, oops, I forgot. another funny joke I love from episode one, season one, was that they just straight up tell you that Murasaki has, like, a fake knife, like one of those fake spring knives.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the weapons were kind of just whatever. I mean, they
just straight tell you, like her knife is fake, so she can't do any real damage or anything like that.
I mean, she still tries to stab from the back.
Let's see. We already talked about episode two with, like, the ugly woman, like, the straight up just ugly woman or whatever.
And we did glance over the fact that I believe that's where the first part you see the running gag where you have the tiny animals with the plastic vampire teeth.
Oh, yeah.
That latch onto the neck, and then when they try to throw it off, it gets passed on to the other party member until they pass out. The monster just gets tired or
takes them forever to kill it. Can you name all of them?
What?
Can you actually name all the animals?
I think there's, like, a squirrel,
koala.
Koala, yeah, for sure. Mouse? I actually don't remember. But yeah,
there's actually a couple.
It was just like a really crappy stuffed toy. That's all it was.
Oh, I think there's four total. So I think it was, like, the mouse, the koala, the squirrel, and then the small chihuahua dog looking thing.
That's right. The chihuahua. That's the one that escaped me for sure.
Okay, so that was episode two. Episode three, I only found one funny joke that I really, like, I loved about it. It was, like, at the very beginning where they were fighting, and then the bandit was, like messing with his balls, because I guess his balls were, like, sticking to his leg or whatever.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
They had to, like, adjust. He had, like, to adjust his joke, and he did that, like, three times.
The bandits are always awfully hilarious. Like, they're bad at their job. Like, they're super creative with some of these bandits.
Yeah, and it's basically, like, just him adjusting the whole time for, like, the next 5 minutes. And I thought that was, like, a hilarious game. Episode four, we have... Oh, probably one of my favorite episodes. Like, I laughed the most during this episode.
Yeah, the one with the angel that they had to ask for her robe.
Yeah. Like, even before that, I love the gag where they're walking through a leech-infested forest.
Yeah.
And then Marimu pulls off, I think, like, a small leech. And then you just do, a quick pan over to Yoshihiko. And he has this, like, body-sized leech attached to him. And I'm like, oh my god, what? Another one was in that same episode, that bandit that had a dog. And he kept saying the dog, it was like a legit dog. It was like an Inu or whatever. And he kept, like, boasting how, like, vicious the Inu was. And basically the whole time the dog just wanted to, like, wander off. And it was on a leash, but it was just trying to wander off in a random direction.
It reminds me of those cats that they use on sets for movies. And I remember there's a famous story about a certain actor getting pissed off whenever they had to wait for the cat to do the specific trick that they had to do. I forget what actor it was, though, but it's a fairly famous one.
And then in the same episode, you had the Kappas. Oh my god, that Kappa guy was freaking hilarious. I swear to god,
the Kappa guy, to be honest with you.
You don't remember the Kappa guy? Oh my god, he was so funny. he was the one guarding the angel, and they're trying to like cross the river, and they're just doing like the most stupidest plans to like try to capture the capo. One was like a staring contest. Another one where they set up like a little like comical like mouse trap thing where it's like basically a stick with like a basket, and then under it was just a bunch of cucumbers.
Yeah,
and I love how they're looking at him like, go, come take the cucumbers.
Yeah,
and then Kappa's- the Kappa guy just pulls out like a bowl of cucumbers himself and starts eating it, and they're like, oh my god, he has his own bowl of cucumbers.
And they famously like cucumbers in the mythology.
Yeah, exactly.
My favorite part of that episode is where Danjo's like, they take turns trying to convince the angel to get him the robe. And when it's Danjo's turn, he's like offering her a drink, right? He's the one that
tries to seduce her.
Yeah, he's like, this is a drink for adults. And he straight up asks for her for sex. And she slaps him.
No, I think my favorite part about that was like when Yoshihiko was trying. He was trying to be like, was that the episode with the tent trousers or whatever?
I don't remember that part. Like, there's so many episodes, and each one is long. They pack a lot into each episode.
I remember, like, wasn't that the one where he's trying to like ask the angel for like her robe, and he's asking her to like to derobe and get naked.
Yeah,
and then he's just doing this to be pure. Yeah, and she's like, how are you being so pure with that trouser tent or whatever? And it was just like,
oh, his boner. Yeah,
what?
He had a boner, right?
Yeah, basically had a boner the whole episode. And I was like, what? It's so funny. And he still had the boner when he was talking to the Buddha or whatever at the end of the episode. And the Buddha's like, oi, what's with your tent trouser?
Yeah. And then episode 5, probably the best bandit.
The best. I 100% agree with you. The best bandit in the show. The best
bandit in the show. This dude is cool as fuck. And when I say that, he's the type of dude that licks his blade well before he's about to use it. The only problem is his blade's poison-coated.
I like if you just want like a taste of how funny this episode is, I would just look this scene up in YouTube. And like I'm sure YouTube has this scene. Just look up like Yoshihiko poison blade or whatever. I'm sure this will come up. Basically, the guy does this like crazy like monologue thing. Oh, before he even licks his blade, I love the part where he does like a feint attack.
Yeah.
And then Danjo just like smacks his blade to the ground. He's like, time out. And he goes and picks up his blade again.
I love whenever they let the bandits, you know,
just reset their
weapon, right? Especially in a later episode when they're trying to collect rent and they go against the bow guy and they let him retrieve his bow.
He does it like 3 times.
Yeah. What the fuck are you letting him do that? Don't let him do that. He's gonna shoot it again.
He misses like all 3. Like, Meru moves like, are you serious? Are you seriously like gonna let him, like, what? Are you seriously? The whole time. I thought that was just hilarious.
So that was the same episode with the Shoes of Invincibility. I think it was the first Zelda pot breaking, and then the cook repeating the text and the villagers as well. And then from there, episode 6 was which episode? The one where Yoshihiko is in love with the
guy?
Lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the episode where we truly see that, you know, for sure Yoshihiko is a huge idiot because he's like, boobies are greater than demons. And Murasaki tries to convince him. Yeah. And he yells at Murasaki, Murasaki, you're insufficient. Like,
oh, yeah.
She's flat. That was the best one.
Murasaki's like, asshole. What about me? And he just straight up, like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, with the hot takes, is like, Murasaki, you're not efficient enough. And then she just, like, passes out, like, standing up.
Yeah. And then when another running gag that they have is, when the curse gets lifted and it's revealed that it's the guy, Yoshihiko will conveniently go back to the team, like, all right, let's go. And they try to say, what about the ladies? Like, that's not, it's always been about the journey, not about the demon lord, not the women. So stuff like that. Right.
This is stupid. I swear every time he gets Hotoke beamed, he just goes back to that serious mode. It's like, I don't care about you. I'm the hero. I do what I want. Next episode was the one about the bow guy, of course, that we just talked about.
The rent.
Yeah, where they had to get rent from this, like a bunch of people or whatever.
Yeah.
I love the part where what was it? At the very end, they get rent from this one guy who's pretty chill. He's just like, oh, I forgot to pay my rent. And he actually has a real spell. He knows a real spell, which is the most powerful spell in the game, called Thwack, which basically insta-kills you. And I love how like the guy mentions that he knows one spell, and Yoshi's like, oh, that's so cool, you have to cast it on me, of course, because he likes people to cast spells on him.
Yeah.
And the guy casts the spell, and Yoshiko goes, oh no, it's Thwack, and basically his entire party gets wiped out.
Oh yeah, that was the guy that was, because there's like three guys before that dude. They were both weirdos. They were all weirdos. And the last dude was actually reasonable. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry, let me pay for it right now.
Yeah,
I just forgot. And then I, for some reason, the spell thing gets brought up. And he's like, I don't know. Do you guys really want to see this?
Just the one spell, yeah.
He's just a reverse psychology, and he just, you know, insta-kills him. But that's when we found out how much each of the party members is
worth. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. The running joke about whatever they need to revive.
Well, it was like twice that they had it, but Mara was like 5 gold. Danjo was 100. How much was Murasaki?
No. Danjo was like several thousand gold
that
or something.
That was season 2, where they upped the prices.
I think Danjo was at least 1,000 or something
in
like that.
In season 1, he was 100.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I specifically remember that one. I don't remember Murasaki. I do know that
he's probably like 50 or something, or...
Yeah, she was like in between.
Yeah. And then Mary was worth like... was it in season 2 he's still worth 5 gold?
They upped it. They upped it.
To how much?
6 gold.
6 gold?
And that Murasaki went for like 50 to 10,000 and Danjo was 100,000-ish.
No, his was 50,000. I specifically remember 50,000. Okay. So stupid. okay, next episode. I want to try to get through these episodes because we're limited on time here. Number 10 was basically... so they have this running gag the whole time at the end of each episode, because I have to set up this episode where basically at the end of each episode, his sister comes out behind like a tree or something. And he's like,
yeah.
And then she just does like a quick one-liner and then disappears. In episode 10, she is revealed to be like part of the main character cast or whatever, where she's now married to like a super rich guy, and she buys this like special carpet that they need to traverse to the Demon King Castle.
Oh yeah, she married Baron Kaiser, and he goes, nah. Just like the sisters in Tokyo Diner.
Yeah. And what was it? She challenges like the party to like a cook-off or something.
Yeah, they needed to find like a pink flower and a parrot.
Yeah, basically, like, it's hard to explain this whole episode without actually having to watch it, but at the end of the episode, Yoshiko, like, just, because he's so stupid, he gives away all his ingredients, so basically, the only thing he makes is, like, just a giant rice ball. It's just a rice ball.
Perfectly
and his sister
circular.
Eats it. And she does like one of those like, oh, this is the type of food you always feed me when we were kids or whatever. and it was supposed to be like one of those heartwarming like episodes where, you know, they do flashbacks. But yeah. I just laughed so hard because every time they showed like a new scene with the rice ball just kept getting bigger and bigger.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that.
It started out with like fist size, and then at the end, it's like the size of a melon. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is a huge ass rice ball.
I wasn't even looking at the rice ball. It just flew past over me. I was laughing over how stupid, you know, they were being serious in the comedy show.
All right, next episode. Like, it's hard to explain that episode. The next episode, it's even harder to explain this episode.
This was just the last episode, right?
No, this is episode 11.
Yeah.
Where they basically get to the Demon King castle territory, and it's basically just Japan. They just go to like Tokyo. I think they just go to Tokyo. And this is the episode where like Yoshihiko like
he gets tempted by the AC.
Yeah, basically like he sleeps outside, you know, with the fire and everything, and a police comes up and is like, "What are you doing? Don't you have a place to live?" And he's like, "No, I don't, because I'm an adventurer."
I love how he's talking about like a little kid. Oh,
yeah. And
go rent a place. I don't know, I'm thinking, with what money? I guess he would use gold coins.
Gold,
or whatever.
Yeah, it's gold. Yeah. Basically, he rents an apartment, And, like, the whole idea of this is that they have to search for the Demon King castle. But every time he's trying to search for it, every time he's trying to leave his apartment, like, he gets tempted by the AC. He's like, I don't want to leave my room ever.
The Siren's Call of Coolness, he called it.
Yeah. And then, was it?
He ended up getting the job, too, right? Just to keep that rent up.
Yeah. Well, no, he doesn't get the only reason he gets a job is because he's losing. He runs out of money, so that's why he gets the job.
As a waiter or something like that.
Yeah. Marabou basically keeps, like, they just have that running thing where he visits, like, a maid cafe, and they actually had, like, AKB-48 playing in the background.
Oh, I thought you were about to say that they were the maids in the cafe. I was like, I didn't even catch that. I'm not really an AKB-48 fan, so I wouldn't even catch
that. I just know that one song. I just know that one AKB song because, like, it was really popular back then. And
Danjo at the Hostess Club was my favorite out of the four, sure.
And then Murasaki becomes like an idol, or not an idol, a model.
And then she becomes an actor.
Yeah. I just love the running gag that she's like so easy to please. Basically, like, anytime you give her like a compliment, she goes into that like flirty, like, yada girl mode.
And you flick your hand.
God, I just love it. I love it. Like, honestly, like, I legit, she's hella cute. Like, she's she's a great actor, and I think it's just so funny. Like, she just plays it off so well.
Yeah, by the way, when Danjo's in the host club, they tell him to remove his sideburns. Right. And throughout the whole episode, they're just glued to his face. You could clearly see the glue.
Yeah.
Honestly, he looked better with a mod just for the character because they're hilarious.
I love the fact that, like, after they get their senses back and they go fight the Demon King, Dacha regrows his sideburns back instantly.
Yeah, he just, like, powers them out or something like that.
And then episode 12, they fight the bad guy. Yoshiko wins with the Crocs of Invincibility.
What was his name? Gaius or something like that?
I don't remember. I just, like, it wasn't, like, one of those, like, extra funny episodes. It was just,
by
like,
the way, ending. Fun fact. The actor for the bad guy, the nemesis of the show, the Demon King, he's the voice actor for Frieza in Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, that's kind
of
cool.
And he's also in a whole lot of other stuff. Obviously, he's accomplished. Most of these actors are.
Like, I feel like they got, like, a huge, like, they say their budget is low, but they got some, like, high-named actors for some reason.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. Maybe they're just selling the show off as being low budget, but it was actually
high.
It's a gag
show. It's a comedy show. They got a whole bunch of comedians on this.
That's what I'm saying, is that they sell it off as a low budget show, but it's actually a high production show.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a low budget show as the gag. That's what rules you, and that's why it's funny, because it's low budget. There's a lot of jokes.
I'm kind of sad that we're missing out on a lot of these, like, actors, like, because we don't know who they are. Like, I only know one actor. But for all the other actors, I'm sure there's, like, plenty of, like, very famous, like, actors or comedians. Yeah. You know,
I can already guess which one you already know. The professor in season 2, the guy from Downtown.
Yeah, it's Tanaka from Downtown, which I definitely do want to do another podcast about Downtown. So we'll probably do that, like, at the end of the year whenever they do their Batsu game or whatever. But yeah, like, that episode was extra hilarious to me because of how stupid the inventions were.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, going back to the bad guy of season 2, Sanji from One Piece.
Dude, that, like, they legit just have, like, a whole like One Piece
join,
like,
my crew
show.
Yeah, like, they were riding in the tiny shitty little boat.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's because of the bad guy.
I have no idea why that was even there. It was so random. It was just like, what is this? It was like the first time.
Yeah.
I was like super confused. I was like, I was already so confused before, but like, I was extra confused at that. Like,
I got confused about it, then I heard the bad guy talk. I was like, oh, okay, I see.
Well, I don't get the joke because I don't watch One Piece. What is with that?
It was probably just, you know, they're like, can we put One Piece characters in it? Asking. They probably just did it because the main character is the VA for him. That's it. That's all I would imagine. So. I laughed about it because it was out of nowhere.
Because you like One Piece.
Everybody recognizes them. Like, even if you don't watch One Piece, you would have seen it. Like, if you've seen Goku somewhere, like at the Macy's Day Parade or something like that, or Pikachu, that's how recognizable characters they are.
Like, the first thing that came up to me was, like, that meme where it's, like, Netflix adaption.
Yeah, they had Frankie, Robin, and all those.
Yeah.
And whenever they get to the first episode of season 2, remember where they're trying to get the little kid to do the hero stuff because all the three other guys don't even want to bother with it? Oh, I really want to be the hero, but I just have some other stuff to do.
Yeah. I love the joke where like each excuse just gets like shorter and shorter. It's like, I want to do it, but, and then he just walks off and leaves.
Yeah, just dejectedly. He's just stops talking. And the kid was like the most level-headed person in the entire show after the Buddha. He's like, a kid's job is to play. I'll raise to that occasion. And I was like, yeah, this kid is fucking like, hella cool.
Yeah. They're trying to get this like 8-year-old kid to be the hero. And then the kid's like, I'm 8 years old. And I love the part where he's like, no. You start out weak. But then after you kill a couple weak bosses, you get stronger. And he's like, I'm 8. It, like, I'll probably die to the slime.
Oh, yeah. And the kid was a descendant of Yoshihiko.
Yeah.
And then
I love how he has like the main character type of goggle caps.
Yeah, he does. And even at the end of the episode where he was invited to join by the heroes, he's like, no schedule. Yeah. Your schedule's probably bad. I'm going to go do my own thing. He big leagued them and he's a little kid. Oh my God.
You don't have a schedule. I also love the thing. We talked about the beginning where basically it's season 2 is 100 years in the future.
Right.
So basically the hero and everyone else is dead. And since no one wants to be the hero, they call for Buddha, and Buddha revives them. Except the problem is that he revives them, like, I guess a couple of days at before their deaths.
Yeah, or whatever. At where they died. Marib's still the same age. How old the hell did he die? Who knows? The other ones are super old. Yeah.
Yeah. They're, like, in their they're like 80s, and I love that they did a recast for Yoshihiko and for Murasaki for them being old, but for Danjo they just made his hair gray.
Well, you mean he's already old, right? He was probably in his 50s at that point.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, they just made his hair gray just to make him look like he's 80 or something. and then they talked to Buddha about it. He's like, oops, my mistake, and then he made him young again.
Yeah. And then, as we said, episode 2 was just the ugly lady, the one where Yoshihiko balls his fist and Danjo draws his sword because they don't believe her.
Yeah. Episode 3 is with they find a village with like no women in it,
right?
And it's because like there's this like evil bad guy that's like a homosexual or something.
Yeah.
That they removed all the women. I'm like, is this a hot take? Or
Oh my god, I just remember something about this episode.
The one where the nuts touching or whatever?
Yeah, he like tickles attack. Him into submission on his testicles.
His nuts,
oh
yeah.
My god.
I love how it makes like the ding noise every time he does it. Ding, 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 ding.
Does he also make all the guys act like cats in that village at night? And Yoshihiko falls to it too?
He's so stupid. And what was it? I specifically remember that what was it?
Like, he turned into a tree monster?
Yeah, like they do like the 2D animations every time.
And they're shitty.
I don't know. Yeah. But wasn't that episode the one where or was it in season 1 that we find out that Murasaki's bird can actually fly or whatever?
This episode. There's season 2 for sure.
Wasn't that episode where we find the bird it's sentient and not just a bird?
Like, okay. That's where we actually, you know, no BS. She's not pantomiming.
No. It was Yoshihiko pantomiming.
It was,
time.
But that's he's sentient because he flies around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Through psychic connection or whatever, they have to talk for him because he's a bird. He doesn't have the vocal cords.
It's so stupid. All right, next episode. Probably one of the best episodes ever. Not because it was funny, but like shooting wise or director wise, it was like actually super creepy.
The one about the ghosts.
Yeah, well, like, before they did a hella good job.
Yeah,
like,
before the ghosts though, they had another the really good bandit. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, he was basically, you know, holding them up. You know, as the all the bandits do. And there's another dude in glasses, just like a driver's license, scoring on whatever he does. And it gets to the point where the trainer is being frustrated with him and berating him. And the guy just starts praying. He's like, I'm doing the best that I can. And they start feeling bad for him. Again, like they always do.
I love the part where he deducts points if you say, like, a really bad one-liner.
Yeah. I mean, he's a professional. He knows how bandits are supposed to be.
It's so stupid. I love the part where they're like they're fighting with their sword, and he does like the spinny part with your sword or whatever, and he's showing them that he has to like move his hand from like one place to another. And whenever he does like the full 180 spin, Yoshiko just does it on instinct, and he's like, you see this guy knows what he's doing. And I'm like, what? It's so stupid. All right, going back to the ghost episode, it was really well shot. It actually felt really creepy. Like, they did a good job, like, with the creep factor.
Yeah.
Like, adding, I don't know why.
Well, adding on to the, well, pale little kids. Always, kids are scary, I guess, kid ghosts. But they also have adult ghosts. And it turns out that they're not ghosts. There's only one ghost. The rest are just actors in costume. I remember the part where Danjo needed to go to the bathroom. What if Danjo just decided to use the bathroom instead? The kid would have been stuck with him there. Oh my god, that would have been hella hilarious. Well, actually, it's probably too much. Yeah, he goes to like, probably too much.
Like an outdoor bathroom or whatever, and there's like the girl just standing inside the bathroom. And he's like, you know, I'm just going to go be a man and go pee in the bushes. Because that's what men do. I love the part where Meribub is like trying to fall asleep, and then was it Murasaki or I think it was Danjo that's trying to
everybody's wake him asleep up. And somebody wakes up. I think it was Yoshihiko, and the whole time Meribub is just awake looking at the ghost face to face for god knows how long.
No, he was like, was it Yoshihiko who's like, Meribu, I need you to come with me. Like, are you asleep? And he's like, I haven't been able to sleep. And he's like, why not? It's because this ghost has been staring at me the entire night. And it, like, I don't know why, but like, kids, like, in all white, like, I don't know why, but just pulls it off. So, like, that freak factor that, like, it just works so well.
I don't know,
so
man. Creepy. Something about, you know, Koreans and the Japanese, they really do horror good. Like, I prefer it much more to American horror, which is mostly gore, as you know, I saw movies, stuff like that, but they locked down the creepy really good.
I sort of, like, I know it's supposed to be comedy, but I still felt super creeped out with that episode.
It was a really good episode. And they threw Murasaki to the wolves. You have to go do it.
Oh my god. Wait, let me set up that scene. Basically, to get rid of, like, or to keep the ghosts away, they have to keep this, like, fire burning all night.
Well, wasn't it just because it was cold?
That too, but of course we know that they just need it for the light because of the ghost.
Right.
So, basically the fire is running out of wood. So, they're like, okay, well, someone needs to go get the wood. And they're like, nah, we don't want to do it. So, they do rock, paper, scissors to see who gets the wood. And, of course, Murasaki ends up losing. And she does this bit where she tries to, like, be all girlish and be...
Yeah,
and she tries to like get Yoshihiko to go with her, and Yoshihiko just straight out like yells at her, go get the wood.
Yeah, he yells at her though. Like, what an asshole. Jesus. It's funny because,
but that's his character.
Well, to her in particular, they treat her like Meg from a Family Guy.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it's so funny. Honestly, but she has like the legit most powerful spells in the game.
Oh, dude, she's the most useful out of all of them. And then Danjo, then Yoshi, then Meribub.
Yeah, I would say Danjo and Yoshi are like interchangeable because they're both kind of like warrior types.
Well,
but like
Danjo can kill, Yoshihiko can't because his sword just puts them to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. But Murasaki is technically useless. Except for, like, the couple, like, the three spells she knows, which is more powerful than all of Meru's spells put together.
Yeah. Revive. So one spell that does random stuff that, it either teleports, another time it gave Merib 20 levels, which is later on in the season two.
The one where like it turns the horrible boyfriend into a good boyfriend.
Yeah, apparently that's what I was gonna say when we talked about that episode. I'll bring it up.
Yeah. Okay. So next episode after the ghost episode was like the really random Konpachi teacher episode.
Oh, it's the best one. They started out with the dancing well too. Remember the guy in pink with the with the cobblestone.
Honestly, I would say that's like the second best bandit
for sure.
After
I wouldn't even call that a bandit, but yeah.
I mean, it was just it was really catchy too. The song was really catchy.
Yeah, I rewatched it 3 times.
That's all I remember. How it goes, was so catchy.
Remember, the Buddha part 2 was really good. This episode, because I think Murasaki was berating him because he was trying to be funny, and I think he said, "Buddhas, we really don't do comedy at the start of the episode." And then Murasaki's like, "You constantly saying things that make no sense," and then Buddha retorts with something like, "Everything we say makes sense on a level," and then that comes back at the end of the episode.
Don't we actually learn in season one or season two, episode one,
what?
That he's not the number one Buddha. He's the fourth Buddha in line of like ranking Buddhas.
I mean, still a Buddha though.
Doctor, but he's not with the number D one still Buddha.
A doctor, right?
I guess, but I remember they're like, he was like gonna go on vacation or something.
That's probably
like that.
who he talks to off screen, the other Buddhas.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Dude, Konpachi was hilarious. Super good this episode, too.
Yeah. I can't really talk much about the Konpachi episode because it was so random. It was so,
dude, I loved it so much.
It was a great episode, but it's hard to talk about. That's what I'm saying.
It was hilarious because his mannerisms, and whenever he talks to like people, he's very encouraging and like wanting them to be better, to the point where everybody falls in love with him as a person because he's charismatic.
Yeah.
And that's what Merib falls. He doesn't get brainwashed. He just falls for his charisma.
Yeah.
And then he do like a hair flip whenever he's trying to put him under their spell. And using words. The F is for this, A is for that, and family.
Basically, like, the idea of the episode is that they go into the village and the village is basically set up like a high school.
Yeah,
like exactly. A high school, that's basically what it is.
At the end of that episode, I wanted to bring that up before you go to 6. I believe that is where we have them talk to the Buddha again.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to be funny again.
Yeah.
And then Buddha gets frustrated and does a callback to the previous episode. He's like, "I'm trying my best." Just like the bandit.
Oh, God.
I don't know if you noticed that, but that caught my attention.
Next episode, the tournament arc episode, where Yoshihiko... What was he going to a tournament to get the key, right?
Yeah, he had to get it from a rich guy, I think, he had to get it from a king, actually, and only the person worthy can get it.
Yeah. So, basically, they go into a tournament arc where he fights, like, a bunch of, like, weird... Like, of course, he fights a bunch of weird people. The first guy, nothing too notable. Like, he boasts a lot, and then they had a fight. The best fight, honestly, was the one where the guy pays a bunch of kids to pretend like his parents are dead or their parents are dead. But he can't fight. All he knows is to do like weak shoves. And like at the beginning of the fight, Yoshiko's like, "Why is this guy even like in the tournament?" Or like, I think it was Merib, like, "How's this guy gotten so far in the tournament?" And then when Yoshiko was about to toss him out of the ring, like a bunch of these kids come up and they're holding the portrait of their parents and they're like, they're like, "Don't lose, big brother," or something like that. And I think one of my favorite parts was every time Yoshihiko touched the guy to throw him out, they always do like that whining noise, like they started crying. And every time he let go, they stopped crying.
They also had the penguin get inside the ring penguin too. And this episode would have implications later on in the season. I don't want to say anything to not spoil that, at least.
It's even if you you've never seen it before, we just straight up like, and there's a penguin. It makes no freaking sense.
Well, it's a monster. I just thought it was a monster, not an actual penguin.
But still, if someone's listening to us and they've never like seen Yoshihiko, and then you just straight up like, and in this episode there's a penguin. Like, this, it makes no damn sense.
That's what makes it great, dude.
Like, I can be saying, like, and then in this episode, an orca jumps out of the ground. It sounds totally believable, but, like, it makes no sense because of that, just how it is. It just makes no sense.
This is an episode where probably aside from the main bosses, the person with the best skills, but he ends up getting his crotch stuck in his zipper mid-fight.
And loses. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he was moving super fast, and that was probably where a good portion of the budget was used.
That was a totally different guy, right? Like, are you talking about the final boss?
I'm talking about the guy that caught his... It was either a pube hair or his wiener stuck in...
It was a pube hair. They specifically said it. Yeah, it was so random. Like, basically, like in the middle of the fight, he does this, like, weird dance or whatever.
Yeah, but he was zooming around, like, the Flash. Like,
yeah, he basically bubbles. Like moved around like the Flash, and then in the middle he was like unable to move, and he's like, "Ooh, is that the thing where he caught one of his pubes stuck?"
It reminded me of the Ben Stiller movie that came out years ago.
It was so random. I think one of my favorite parts was when he was fighting like the final guy, and what was it? Yoshiko like gets one punch and he's like laying on the floor passed out, and he goes into like this weird I wouldn't say it's a flashback, like a dream or whatever.
Yeah,
and then he wakes up from the dream and he ends up winning because the party moved the bad guy because they were technically in a time freeze during his dream state, and they moved him outside of the ring.
And he's just confused, like, well, what am I doing out here? I was inside. And they're like, don't think of it. Don't worry about it.
I guess that's one way to wrap up an episode, though, right? Like,
by the way, just about that episode, really quick, tiny thing. If you noticed in season one, remember when they used the heart eyes? They were like big buttons. They actually improved those this season, and you see them again. They look much better.
Oh, really? I didn't notice.
Just a graphical thing.
What was the episode after that?
The one with the imposters.
The clones. The clones, right?
Dude, another great episode. Most of these are fantastic.
This clone episode was hard to talk about, too. I'll just say that there's monsters that turn the clones to them, and then they learned out that the monsters are just way better than them in every way. Yeah. Like,
so usually when you have an anime trope where you have the imposter thing.
Yeah.
The imposters are shitty people. They misbehave, stuff like that. In this show, the imposters are basically, the roles are switched. The main characters are the awful people, and the imposters are good people.
Like, the only flaw they had was that, like instead of, like, finding the key to seal up the demons, they want the key to free up all the demons or something like that.
Because they were demons.
But like, besides that, everything they do is like just way better than the actual heroes. Like, they can fight better. They know actual spells.
And Yoshihiko, he grows fond of working because they're so easy to work with. And Murasaki clone can actually make good food. And he just wants to abandon them. Cook. Yeah. To the point where he had to get Hotoke beamed to remember that they're not even, you know, doing the same thing. They're doing the opposite. Their goal is the opposite.
That's right.
And the Buddha's like calling him out on it because Yoshihiko was saying that they were lying to him the whole time. No, we told you from the start. And he's like, yeah, they're right. They told you from the start.
All right. What was the episode after that? Oh, the portal.
The new jobs. Portal. Yeah.
Yeah. And the new jobs. Actually, did I? Yeah. What job did Yoshihiko pick? Was it priest, right?
This is the one where he became an idol, season, right?
No. That was season one where he chooses to be an idol. I think this one, if they chose new jobs, I think he chose the priest or something. I don't know.
I don't remember. But this is the one where he decides to put his adventure, like defeating the demon lord, to have an affair instead. And he rationalizes having his affair as being an adventure, and an adventure is something that a hero is supposed to have.
Honestly, you know my favorite part of that episode?
What?
Was when they do like the whole like singing number or whatever.
Yeah, that was out of nowhere. I loved it.
No. What was out of nowhere is like during the singing number, Burasaki like slaps him on the head. Like he hits him on the head with like this big bulky item and he passes out, and then they just drag him away.
She uses a spell to make the boyfriend good because he was like abusing her, hitting her, stuff like that. Which is funny because, you know, that's Yoshihiko never puts his hands on Murasaki, but he treats her horrible. And he treats every other woman he meets great.
All right. Next episode. This is the one with the scientist, Tanaka.
The guy from downtown.
Yeah, the guy from downtown. Basically, he invents like a bunch of these like random ass adventures that are like the worst things in the
table
world.
Table flipping. Yeah, 5-year-old rice.
There's a machine that flips a table, and what it does is just a mechanical arm that you flip the arm, and then the arm flips the table. I'm like, you could just flip the table.
Something that has to be seen more, it's appreciated, but it's real simple but great.
The rock, paper, scissor, winner, decider machine.
It was super slow. It's just a hand on a crank. A flag on a crank.
Yeah, a hand on a crank.
And we also had the
rice cooker.
The bandit. We had the guy that stopped transforming midway.
No. There's actually several bandits in this one. First one was the makeup girl, where she's like,
oh, right. Let me go get my makeup. And they wait for her 30 minutes.
30 minutes. And then Yoshiki's like, you look the same. And then he does a single slash attack. And then she falls asleep.
And then you had the other bandit. Yeah, werewolf. But then the other dude was like super over the top. Like a real...
The dialogue. Like the super monologue dialogue guy, where he's like, I've defeated this great person or whatever.
Yeah, he's like Samuel Balthazar. Didn't they say something like Samuel Jackson or something like that really quick? But like not say Jackson all the way.
I don't remember, but I do remember Balthazar.
I remember the Fantastas brothers and Fagelshion or something like that. Fagelshion, the greatest swordsman.
I love the part where they kill the guy or they put him to sleep, and his final words were like, "Tell me your names so I can use it to boast later."
Oh, another great part of this episode. I don't remember if it was this one where Murasaki was talking about her spells, and then Marib cuts her off, saying that they're just, you know, they're garbage, they do random stuff.
Yeah.
In this episode, he specifically says that spells are precise, that his spells are precise.
Precise?
That they can be used precisely.
I forgot that spell.
Yeah. And all it is lighting a fire under a random pot somewhere.
Just somewhere,
Yoshihiko
just randomly.
Goes full into it. Oh my god, something's happening.
It's so powerful, we're invincible now.
Yeah.
I love that whenever Yoshi asks him to recast a spell, he's like, and Murasaki's like, what does that even do? He's like, somewhere, someone in the world, their food is cooking.
Like, wasn't that the episode where they go back to the Kompachi village?
It's because Murasaki casts her zoom spell or teleportation spell. Focus, they go back to the village real quick, and they had like completely different actors.
Yeah, so Konpachi was replaced by Hirohito Hori. The original actor was Matazo Mimata. Right. So
is there like a significant difference that I should know about?
So just something that I liked. So Matazo, the only appearance was Konpachi. And so in season one, Kisara, remember the bow dude?
Yeah.
On floor two? He's the new actor for Konpachi, Hirohito Hori. Yeah, same actor.
Makes sense. I'm sure they have to reuse a lot of these actors. I'm sure they reused that village like several times too, right?
It just came to my attention because Mareb was like, Konpachi looks a little bit off.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, no, it's the same actress, a different agency.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I love that.
All right, so next episode after that is Radio FM Mango. We already talked about that a lot. Last episode was like a double feature episode where it was like super 40 long. Minutes 39, long or yeah, something.
40 minutes.
Yeah. This one's involving like him fighting the big bad guy with the balls of light. Nothing really to stand out the outage for me regarding this episode. Anything for you?
I just like that the brother of light was Hikikomori, and they were playing with a little sliding door. He just like, oh, they're going into a cave, and they just go into, you know, a standard Japanese room with the tatami mats and the closet where you store your bed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
While they're talking, the dude just slowly opens the door. Doesn't move his face or anything like that, just slowly moves it back. And then they play a game of opening both sides. And then Yoshihiko opens it on the other side and slams his fingers or something like that. You could hear that, you're laughing.
Yeah, like, I think that was like a mistake, but they left it in there. I love that. I love that scene. Where it's like, oh, I think you got my finger.
I was like, Symposium was his name or something like that.
It's so random. Like, oh, I I guess to set up the joke, I guess you have to know this information, but they need the balls of light. I feel like we should...
Don't say it.
Yeah, I won't say it. Basically, he gets these two balls of light.
That part pissed me off.
Yeah. Like, okay, literally. So he gets these two balls of light. I won't say where you get them from. And then, basically, technically, you're only supposed to have one, but I guess they duped it, and now he has two. He has two balls of light. And there's this funny gag where the evil guy was like, ah, I see you have the ball of light. I have captured your sister. If you want her bag, you have to give me the ball of light. And Yoshihiko's like, fine, I'll do it. And basically the whole group agrees. It's like, okay, that's a fair trade. So he pulled up both balls of light, and the whole group is like, what the hell are you doing? He just pulled up the one, and then he just slowly puts the other one back inside.
Dude, I had the same exact reaction as the characters. When the emperor said that he had to hand him over, I was like, okay, just hand one over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I literally said out loud, this fucking dude better not pull out both of these balls of light. And he just like, oh my fucking god.
I just love that slow reaction where he tries to put one back in his coat. And the bad guy's like, I already know you have two.
Can't take the cat out of the bag.
Yeah. Okay, this episode's going long. I guess we'll just end it here because we pretty much talked about it.
Oh my god.
Like, I know we left out a lot of stuff, but this show is really, really, really hard to talk about with actually just seeing it. So I just recommend, like, just at least give the first two or three episodes a watch. If you don't like it, that's fine. You don't need to watch it. But honestly, this is like the funniest show you will ever see. It's honestly, 100% recommended.
When I originally saw the show, I saw season two and thought that was season one. I never saw season one till now.
Any, like, in regards to this episode, any final words for it?
No, I don't want to spoil more. Just go enjoy it.
Yeah, just go enjoy it. All right, guys. We'll catch you later. Bye.